Jack Armstrong joins us now. Jack, how you doing?
Jason, I'm great. I'm a little ticked off, I got to be honest with you, because, you know, the guys in the morning, Nielsen, Frazier, I'm out with them all the time. I come out with you. I come out with all the different hosts. You guys are having a golf tournament, and I looked at my mailbox today. Still no invite. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, Jack, you know what? That's embarrassing. I will get on our invite crew because we should fly you in, and we could just put you on the first hole. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to come in. And, you know, one of the big bosses out there at TSN Edmonton got a pony up here. Let's go. I mean, I haven't – every day I go out to the mailbox and, you know, no invite. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, you've obviously never met our boss, Pat Cardinal, okay? We don't call him Alligator Arms for nothing.
Oh, really? He's one of those guys,
oh,
huh?
Oh, jeez. I don't think I've ever seen him at the table when the bill comes. It's amazing.
It sounds like a typical radio executive. You know?
Jack, before we get into basketball, what's the one food you will not eat?
Spinach. My mother used to try to make me eat it as a kid, so now I have adult rebellion against it. So anytime I'm at dinner and there's spinach, I walk the other way. So that would probably be the one that really I don't like. And I'm not a real, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not a fan of seafood. I've had it a few times. I'm an Irish guy, meat, potatoes, a cold beer. And the only fish I eat is Swedish fish. You know, the little red candies?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only fish I eat. I don't eat anything else. So spinach and probably seafood.
Wow. Wow. So you would never, you ever eat sushi?
No, that's for yuppies. That's for really like intellectual types and, you know, people that read a lot of books and go to the coffee shop all day. I don't fit that profile.
it's funny. LeBron James, cramps up. And everybody in game one after the game, you know, they were ripping on, oh, he's taking too many energy drinks. Oh, it's not helping them. And they got all these people sending me, hey, Gregor, there's no correlation between dehydration and cramping, allegedly. Unfortunately for LeBron, it's happened a few times. I don't think it makes him a lesser player because we saw what happened in game two. But is this a thing to be concerned over? Or because it happens so infrequently, it's not a big deal?
Well, I think the more important thing is it doesn't make him a lesser man. And I think the problem I had, and I've said this the last few days, I mean, the guy has missed less than 40 games in his entire, I think it's 11 years of his professional career. The guy loves to play. You know, so for him to being called out for having cramps, the guy loves to be in the game. The guy loves to play. So, I had a hard time with that. I mean, I've had cramps. I'm a runner. And they're incredibly painful. And if you get them at the wrong time, you're pretty much, you're out of action for a while. And there's no doubt he tried to play through it, and he made a beautiful move, and then came down after that and just couldn't do it anymore. And then his coach wouldn't let him back in. You know, so if you look at how he played last night, I think the guy's got great toughness. He's the best player on the planet right now. And I'm sure, you know, the doctors and trainers will figure it out in terms of just making sure he stays hydrated. And he's a hard guy to stay hydrated. He's probably 2% body fat. So, you know, there's no way to absorb the water. You know, I mean, he's a lean, mean fight machine. And he's, so they really got to stay on top of that. And he was just absolutely wonderful last night.
He was very good last night, Jack Armstrong joining us, 35 points. This series seemed to have seven games written all over it at the start. And even when LeBron went down, the Spurs had that 31-9 run that really changed the momentum in that game. It was a lot tighter in game two. Does the venue change much in your mind in this series?
I really don't think so. I think these two teams are so evenly matched, and they're just so good. That I don't, you know, and they've all been part of some huge games in their careers. So I don't think it was a big factor to Miami last night. And I don't think between the next two games, you know, do I expect San Antonio to win both of them? No. Do I think they can win one of them? Definitely. And I don't think they'll be intimidated by that one bit. I just think they'll find a way to work their way through that. And I don't think Miami's home court advantage is that great, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been there enough times now over the years. You know, their fans are good, but they're front runners. And I think that there are times that they're waiting for the spectacular play, and they don't appreciate the beauty of the simple play and how good their team is. And, you know, honestly, how good these two teams are. These are the two best teams. I mean, they share the ball. They're unselfish. They're teams. They got great guys. You know, they're all that's good in the sport right now. And I hope that today's young players and young coaches are watching this and saying, hey, that's how I got to play as a player. That's how I got to coach as a coach.
Jack Armstrong joins us. Jack, I was looking at San Antonio and, you know, their bench guys and their starting guys last game. They didn't get a ton of production from three of their five starters. Is it as simple as their starters just need to be better?
I think that I look at the guy I look at that has to play better is Kawhi Leonard, you know, defensively. And they need him to put more pressure on Miami, because if he's not doing that, then they can move LeBron over and put him on Tony Parker, and his size and athleticism gives Parker issues. So a guy like Kawhi Leonard's got to be good. A guy like Danny Green's got to be really good. Those two guys in particular. You know, I think Boris Diaw off the bench, he's done an incredible job the first two games with the playmaking and the rebounding. Ginobili wasn't very good last night. But, you know, I think some of that had to do with the fact I thought last night Miami did a better job, you know, screen and roll coverage, handoff coverage, getting out to shooters, playing with great energy, multiple effort. It was just a much more prepared, energized Miami defense last night. And yet, you know, I think you'd agree with me, Jason. Tony Parker misses two free throws. Tim Duncan misses two free throws. That would have made it a six-point game.
Yeah.
Instead, they miss all four, then LeBron makes a three, and the whole game turns around from there.
I agree. I can't remember. I'm sure some statistician would look it up when those guys went 0 for 4 in consecutive free throws. That's got to be a rarity. What did you think of how the benches were used last night? San Antonio had 9 guys play 15 minutes or more, while the Heat went with 7 guys playing 24-plus minutes. Do you want more guys playing fewer minutes in the finals?
Well, I think about Greg Popovich. I think he looks at it this way. He got his win, and he also knows now that there's only one day off in between games. You know, tomorrow night we play, Thursday night we play. So it's a process. It's a series, not just one game. And even though you have to try to win the game you have, and I think he did, their formula for success all year has been to go 8-9 deep, whereas Eric Spoelstra has done that. But they were just trying to get through the season. You know, it's a different deal. And I think now, I think he looks at his team and says, I can really only trust 7 guys. And, you know, this is go time for them. It's go time for the Spurs, too. But I think you really got to watch. I don't think Parker's 100%. You can see that. And, you know, Ginobili, you can't run him into the ground playing 44 minutes. Nor can you do that to Duncan. And, you know, so there's some considerations, I think, that Greg Popovich has more than maybe Eric Spoelstra has. That's why you see the difference in substitution patterns.
And lastly, Jack, what are you hearing for the NBA draft? Who do you think's going first?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously Joel Embiid is the big kid out of Kansas. And then you got Jabari Parker out of Duke. And Andrew Wiggins, the kid from, you know, the Toronto region. You know, those three guys, I mean, I think Wiggins is the most talented guy on the board. He's probably not as ready for the pros as the other two physically, but he can end up being the best pro. A lot's going to depend on, you know, just how his workouts go and his interviews the next few weeks. But I do think that when I project 5, 7, 9, 10 years out, I think he's got the most ability of those three guys. So, now, whether that means he'll get drafted first, only time will tell. But in my opinion, he's the best player.
And, Jack, it's coming down that Derek Fisher is going to get a 5-year deal to be the head coach of the New York Knicks. You know, the guy just finished playing, and now he's going to be a head coach in New York. What do you think of this decision by Phil Jackson?
Well, you know, they could have given Steve Kerr a five-year deal, and they would have probably got him. Instead, James Dolan, the owner, didn't want to go 5 years, and Golden State was willing to give it to him, so he goes there. And that was Phil's first choice. So, but sometimes you're lucky to get someone that maybe isn't necessarily your first choice, but might be a better fit. I think Derek Fisher is obviously more contemporary to today's player, but that roster needs a lot of work. But on the other hand, I think that roster needs a great communicator and a guy that can get through to guys. And I think he has that. He's got great leadership qualities and a wonderful relationship with Phil Jackson, obviously, from their days together in L.A. He's always been a clutch performer, consummate professional. I think he'll be a terrific coach. The key is going to be he's got to hire great assistants, because there's going to be a significant learning curve for him the first year, year and a half, that you need experienced guys on a bench with you.
Jack, always good to catch up with you. We'll be sure to invite you, and when we do, there'll be no seafood or spinach on when we pick you up in your limo.
You got to love it. And you know, just the golf shirt would be large. And as long as I have a nice DSN radio hat and a shirt and a few cold beverages, I'm ready to go.
Perfect.
Sign me up.
I love it. All right, you're in.
You got it. Thrill of my life. All right, Jason.